Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful grace you have shown in creating us and in saving us. We pray, Father, that as your saved people, as we look at your word now, we would understand it better, that we might know our Saviour more fully and live in a way that honours you. We ask this in his name. Amen. Years ago, back in Sydney, there was a company that was called Better Brakes, and I remember their ad, which they'd sing on the radio. I'm not going to sing it for you now, so please sit easy. But the jingle went something like this: "We don't fix engines, we just fix brakes, and we fix them good." They worked hard on that one. But with a logo like that, and a name like Better Brakes, it's not hard to figure out what their core business was: fixing brakes. Now, years after that, they changed and they started to go by the logo Better Brakes Auto Service Centres. And I had a look on the web in the week just to see if this company is still going. They are. There's one of them left. And this is what it says. They've got a little caption and it says, "We do more than just brakes." They've decided to diversify their core business and spread themselves a bit wider. Well, as a church, we have a core business. Now, we do lots of things. Like many healthy churches, there are lots of things that we do, lots of ministries we're involved in. I'm asking you to be involved in a number of them by filling in those forms that I hope you'll take tonight. Lots of things we do, but there is one core business, and the core business is the ministry of God's Word. Now, that's not just because we're a strange church. We are in a line of churches that go right back to the New Testament itself and the church that Jesus established when he ascended into heaven. In the passage we're looking at tonight, just a short one from Acts chapter 6, the apostles said this. They said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables." Or literally, on behalf of the ministry of tables. "It would not be right to neglect the ministry of the word." That is our core business, whatever other things we might do. Now, I want to look at this passage tonight and consider three things that we can expect as a church if we keep this as our core business, if the ministry of God's word stays our core business. I think there are three things we can expect, at least three. And the first one is there inside the outline in the bulletin. The first thing we can expect is growth. There is a repeated pattern as we go through the book of Acts. And it's written in different ways. And here is an example. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42. "Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ." And then the next verse, chapter 6, verse 1, "In those days when the number of disciples was increasing." As the church does not neglect the ministry of God's word, the word spreads and the church grows. Now, this is not a magic formula. This is not something that we demand of God and say, "Well, God, we haven't neglected the ministry of the word, therefore you must cause us to grow." God is... He owes nothing to anyone. He's not to be demanded in this way. But having said that, it's a fair expectation, in fact, a right expectation, that if we hold to the ministry of the Word of God, proclaiming Christ and the gospel and calling people to trust Jesus and persevere in that, it's a right expectation that we will grow. That's what our arrows are that we have in the logo. You see it on the front of the news sheet. I've got it reproduced inside the outline there. The big arrow is God to us. God equips us in his word. We read the Bible. We study it. We hear it taught. God equips us. And then we expect that we will be built up. The little arrow going up, that means growing in maturity, in our depth of understanding as Christians, and built out. as God adds to our number people that he's saving. I remember the first time I had a veggie patch, and I bought a punnet of seedlings, tomato seedlings. And it comes with a little card and it says, well, you need to plant these so far apart. And it was probably like a metre or something apart. And I thought, well, I've only got a little veggie patch and I've got other things I want growing. And there are eight of these little things. It would take up more than I've got. So I thought, blow that. I'm just going to put them in my little tomato corner and cramp them all in. Well, I was just showing my ignorance, because tomatoes do like to spread out. And before long, they weren't seedlings anymore. And they were crowding each other out and competing for the soil and the water and the light. And it was made a mess of my veggie patch. I didn't really expect them to grow. As seedlings, they looked really nice where I'd planted them. But as a full plant, it was a mess. If you are a Christian, you are not meant to stay the way you are right now. You are meant to grow. You're meant to change your thinking. You are meant to be transformed in your attitudes. Your behaviour is meant to be conformed more and more to Jesus' likeness as time goes on. And as a church, we are expected to grow in size, as God brings new people among us who hear for the first time and then believe that Jesus is Lord and then stay amongst us. We'll grow. If seedlings stay seedlings, you know something's wrong. If we stay the same, something's wrong. It's the result of the Word of God that growth happens. We can expect it and we should expect it. All these ministries that we've just commissioned a little earlier on, this is our core business, teaching adults, children alike, that Jesus is Lord. We read and understand and obey God's word. The reason we do all of that is that we grow. Well, that's the first thing we can expect from our core business in the ministry of the word, that we grow. But there are two more things to expect. The next one is distractions. Things will always come up to distract us from our core business. And yet we need to keep the ministry of the word as our priority. Look at the situation that arose in the early church here in Acts 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. There were two ethnic groups in the early church. The only Christians there were converted Jews, and there were two ethnic groups within them. There were those with a Greek background and culture, the Grecian Jews, and there were those with a Hebrew and Aramaic background, the Hebraic Jews. Now, ever since the church was planted, and we've read about this since Acts chapter 2, we've been told how believers shared all that they had, that there was no one in need because of the generosity of Christians. And we have also read about how there were some who would even sell property, give the proceeds to the apostles, and the apostles would distribute it as people had need. Well, here is a problem that has arisen, probably just because the church is so big now, and it's just an innocent oversight. There was one group who were being overlooked. Now, it's a real problem, and because it's a real problem, it needs to be dealt with. But the problem caused another problem, disunity. You see there in verse 1, these Grecian Jews, the Greek-speaking Jews, were complaining against the Hebraic Jews. And this word complain, it's literally the word grumble. If you've ever read the book of Exodus, you'll know that this is what the Israelites did against Moses in the wilderness. Every time they took issue with his leadership and they didn't like something about him, they grumbled. And grumbling doesn't mean going up to Moses and saying, Moses, I have a difficulty with the way you've been doing things. It means turning to someone near you and going, I don't like the way Moses is doing things. You know, neither do I. The grumbling sort of spreads out like that. It creates discontent, it creates suspicion, and it divides. Now, if you ever hear someone start to grumble with you about someone else, then in love, just kindly say, stop there. Have you said that to them? Have you told the person instead of me? Now, if they say no, then say, look, you need to talk to them. Otherwise, it's grumbling, and grumbling is poison in churches. But the most serious problem isn't even this grumbling. The most serious problem is that it was putting pressure on the apostles to stop preaching and teaching. Now, as I said, it was a real need. It would be a good thing to do to look after the distribution of food so that no one is missing out. But if it replaced the core business, then it would be a disaster. As I said, there are many things that go on in our church, lots of things that go on in any healthy church. There's helping people with needs, there's working out the sound, the lighting for a place. We've got a rose garden that takes a fair bit of work. There's folding the newsletters, printing them out, and there are so many things that need to be done. Now, in one sense, all of those things are ministries or the result of the ministry of the word. Because as we mature, as we grow, as God adds to our number people that he's saving, then there's more things that need to be done. I mean, if it was just me and someone else, there wouldn't be a lot of that needing to be done. We just meet in a lounge room and that's it. But as we grow, lots more ministries need to be done. But fruit doesn't produce more fruit. Fruit is produced by something else. It's the word that produces the fruit, the word that means that these other ministries are good to do. But if we forget the ministry of the word, then the fruit will soon die out or just become meaningless. Now, I find personally, in a week, there are always lots of really good things. I've got some really terrible things that could distract me, but I've got lots of good distractions to take me away from preparing the sermon or a Bible study and praying. Lots of good things that I could do instead of those things. And I know that's the same case for any of our Bible study leaders, for anyone who leads Sunday school or kids club, and it's their turn to prepare for that week. There will be lots of things and a number of good things that they could do instead of sitting down with the Bible and working it out. And in fact, at another level, it's true of all of us. Our core business as Christians is that we listen to God in his word. We read the Bible. We take it seriously and let him go to work in us. But there's always something, even a good thing, to take us away from that, to distract us. Always some good reason not to read through our Bible. There's always a good reason where we shouldn't join a home group or not at least get to one every week. There's always a good reason for it, as well as all the bad ones. There's always good distractions. And yet we need to keep our core business, the ministry of God's word. The third thing to expect when we do keep the ministry of God's word as central is seen in how the apostles solved the problem here in Acts 6. The problem was addressed by the apostles and the whole church. See how they did it? They involved the whole church in the solution. Verse 3. The apostles said, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole church. So they involve the whole church. The whole church takes it on. They look amongst themselves and they choose 7 godly people to take on this ministry. Here is the body of Christ at work building itself up in love as each person does its part. The distribution of food is taken over by these 7 men, and the apostles go on keeping to the ministry of the word. And as a result, verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The word spread, the number of Christians grew. Now, as we grow as a church, there will be more ministry to be done. And the only way to do it, without neglecting the ministry of the word, is if more people get involved. Now, if I had to look after the sound and lighting, if I had to look after this rose garden out here, if I had to run off all of these bulletins and fold them every week and organise all the tea and coffee, I mean, if I had to do all of that, seriously, I wouldn't be standing here teaching from the Bible. There are others who do a fantastic job with those things. Right now, there are a few people looking after the creche outside, which is leaving us free to sit in here and to concentrate on the scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 16, Paul wrote this. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We're all involved. There's no spectators in a healthy church. Now, years ago, Irene and I went to Movie World on the Gold Coast when it was first opened. And one of the exhibits that we went to, I suddenly became involved in the exhibit. This was the Memphis Belle exhibit. They had the plane, the Memphis Belle, like in the movie and the World War II story. And they asked for a volunteer, and suddenly I'm going forward and putting on a flight jacket and sitting in the cockpit. And then I had to look at a blue screen and pretend that there's, you know, trouble coming and we're being attacked. But everyone else in the audience saw it on a screen, and actually there I was flying the Memphis Belle and under attack, and so it was great. A little later on, we went to the Police Academy show. And this was kind of a fun thing in an outdoor area, and they again asked for a volunteer, and so someone put their hand up and they got taken down, and within minutes they had fallen off a building and got run over by one of the cars in the thing. And as we're suddenly aghast like this, we realised, oh, we've just been suckered. You know, this is someone from the show. They were sitting in the audience, and so when they said, can we have a volunteer, they were already part of the show before then. Now, it happens like that with ministry. There are some things that you find yourself in unexpectedly. It might be that someone says, can you come and give me a hand with this on Wednesday, just this week? And you go along and you do it, and then you think, I enjoyed doing that. Can I help you next week? And then suddenly you find yourself roped in. You're hooked. You're enjoying it. You're serving whatever that ministry is. And then there are sometimes we find ourselves doing a ministry that we had every intention of doing. We saw a need, we really wanted to help meet it. We asked, we volunteered, whatever it is, and we planned and we work at it. Well, whether it happened inadvertently or whether it happened fully intentionally, the only thing that's not to happen is that we are not to be uninvolved. Belonging to church means being involved, because that's how we grow. We need to expect that, and you need to expect that of yourself. As we start a new year, there's lots of things ahead of us in the year. Expect your own involvement in what's going on here in the body of Christ. Now, of course, there's going to be distractions as the year goes on, so resolve that you will serve God in certain ways, and that as other things arrive, you will plan around your ministry rather than around those other things. Resolve to do it. Expect to be involved. Whatever it is. If it is that for all the opportunities that you have left, you can really only say, I'm going to pray for this ministry. Well, then do it faithfully. Do it regularly. Find out as much as you can so that you can pray. If you're going to be leading a Bible study, then you make that a priority. Don't get hooked up with lots of other things. Make that the focus. Give yourself prayerfully and faithfully to that work. If you're going to join the flower roster, if it's going to be the creche, you make sure that's a priority and you plan around it. And if you're not involved in anything here and it's time to change, come and have a chat with me afterwards. Each one of us has a part in the ministry here, whether it's directly ministering the word of God and helping someone to understand the Bible better, or it's a ministry freeing up someone else to do it. We're all involved because we're all serving the one master with the one goal for us, and that is to build us as his church. Well, may God grant that we'll be able to say of this church, so the word of God spread and the number of disciples in the Kallaroo area kept increasing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you that it is for all, young and old, in all languages, in all places. We thank you that it's for us. Father, may this ministry be central to our being, our identity as a church, and may we all work together to keep it like that. Whether we are ourselves teaching directly the scriptures to someone, or we are ministering in a way that frees up someone else to do that, may we serve together, knowing that we are serving the one master. And may our Lord be pleased to cause us to grow, and that we will grow in maturity, in strength, in perseverance, and we will grow in number as you add to our number people that you will save this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.